Amen. What a beautiful song. What a great message. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, open the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning, one thing I did forget to mention, in the Institute classes, there is childcare that will be provided. And so if you're interested in doing that and you need childcare, we can take care of that as well. Every time I go back to Uganda, I'm reminded by many different things. But one of the things that I really enjoy about going back to Uganda is the way they do their services and things. I don't know if some of you may have, if you've been watching some of the pictures and things that some people have been posting and even some videos, they do their offering different in Uganda. So in Uganda, in the front, you'll have a little table and you'll have a basket that says like tithe, you'll have a basket that says missions, and then a basket that says offering. And then as people are, as we're singing a song, everybody comes forward and they give in the baskets. They don't pass offering plates. Everybody comes forward and gives. So that's one of the things that I always miss about Uganda as well. But the other thing is when I preach in Uganda, I really appreciate how they respond, because many times if I say something, instead of saying amen, or they might say amen or something like that, but a lot of times they'll clap. They'll be like, yeah, that's good, right? And so let me just say this morning, if you want to clap this morning, I don't mind, all right? You'll make me feel like I'm back in Uganda, okay? So, I meant when I actually say something good, you know, I say something, wait for that point, okay? But we had a great time while we were there in Uganda, and we praise the Lord for what God did. And yes, everybody made it back. All the luggage made it through and everything. Praise God, all the radio equipment made it through as well. They didn't stop any of it, didn't try to tax us on things. And so that was wonderful. And thank the Lord for answering that prayer. And got to do a lot of different things there. We got to take the folks out to several villages. And these areas where we were at, these are village churches and working on becoming churches where people had gotten saved by listening to Truth Radio. And now they were working on getting a church started out there. Last Monday, we were in a village. Some of the guys and I went out with Pastor John and a couple other men, Brother Enoch, who's been working in this place about an hour and a half maybe from Mbali. And we're out there in the village under basically a mango tree, right, guys? It was just a mango tree. And that's where they've been meeting for over a year, just under a mango tree. Anybody would have come to church this morning if we would have been meeting under a tree? Probably not a lot of you, right? You'd be like, what? No chairs? No, they sat on, many of them sat on the ground, sat on just hard benches. No air conditioning? Well, the breeze was blowing. That was nice, you know. But that's where they've been meeting for over a year. It's under a mango tree. But praise the Lord, as we share the gospel, we saw two people come to know Christ that day. And the guy that was driving us around in the bus, we rented a bus to take everybody around. And that last night that we were in Mbali, we were there for a few things, and one of the men in the church began sharing the gospel with the bus driver. The bus driver got saved, and so that was exciting. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. Yeah. And so just had a great time while we were there. And this evening, some of the folks will be sharing some testimonies about the trip. But I know many of you are praying, so thank you for praying. God just really blessed through the whole thing, and just exciting to see how God continues to use the radio, continues to use the church there. On Sunday for the 20th anniversary service, there were over 500 people that were there for the service, and some had traveled long distances to come to be a part of it. Many that were there representing many of the villages that had people had gotten saved, from Truth Radio, and so that was just a blessing to see all that God had done there. So thank you so much for praying. And we made it back safely, and we praise God for His protection and just the great time that we had. So, but I do think that you'll enjoy some of the testimonies you'll hear tonight, all right? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, again, this is our theme verse this year. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Father, do pray that you would just bless this morning. Lord, just thank you for bringing each of us here, those joining us via live stream as well. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the good singing. Lord, the message that we have in song as well just lifts up the name of Jesus. Where would we be without you? And Lord, we know the answer to that. Each one of us would be on our way to a devil's hell. And so, Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross. Thank you for not just sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, but, Lord, for the sins of the world, for those in Uganda and Argentina and Russia and all around the world. And, Lord, there's such a great need for the gospel. And, Father, I pray that you would just bless this in the service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been going through this, and we've kind of taken a pause here at this passage because he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And he's talking about how he's encouraging Timothy. He says, Timothy, there are certain things that I want you to encourage you in to continue in these things. And no matter what happens, you just continue in these things. You know where these things have come from. In other words, these aren't just men's ideas. These are God's words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. These things are important, Timothy. They're important for your life. And we've been looking at some things that I believe God tells us in his word we are to continue in. We're to continue in these things. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles into the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how Jesus tells us we are to continue in his love there in the book of John. And then 2 weeks ago, we were looking in Romans where he says, are we to continue in sin? And the answer to that, Paul said, is God forbid. We're not to continue in sin. I know sometimes people have this idea, well, if I'm saved, I can go ahead and I can just live any way that I want to live and I can live in sin. No, God says that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. Are we able to sin after we get saved? Yes. Can we get it right with God? Yes. Can a person continue to live in sin after they get saved? Yes. But is God going to bless them? No. Is God going to discipline them? Yes. God's going to deal with them as his children. And so he says we're not to continue in sin. And here in Acts chapter 26, I believe we find something else that the Bible tells us we are to continue in. In Acts chapter 26, we'll begin reading in verse number 21, Acts chapter 6, excuse me, 26. If I say something this morning that doesn't sound quite right, just remember, I am on 8 hours ahead time difference, okay? So I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning thinking it was time to get up and thinking I'm supposed to be wide awake. So, those of us that traveled, we're on a little bit time difference. So if you see one of them nodding off in here this morning, don't be upset with them. Just poke them and, you know, wake them up, give them a little bit of grace. But if I say something that doesn't sound quite right or I mix up a word or something, please forgive me. We're in Acts 26, Acts 26, and we'll begin reading in verse number 21. He says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that it should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now think about this. Paul is, he has been imprisoned. He's in Jerusalem. He's getting ready to be taken to Rome, where he's going to stand before Caesar. But while he's here, he has been brought before Festus, and Festus has invited King Agrippa. King Agrippa was one of the great-grandson of Herod the Great, and so he was very familiar with Jewish customs. He was very familiar with the Jewish laws and the Jewish the scriptures, and he was educated in Rome under Caesar, and he was sent back to kind of control the area and kind of be the mediator between Rome and Israel. And so Paul is standing before King Agrippa here, and if you go back all the way to verse number 1, it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself." And so at the end of chapter 25, you have King Agrippa and Bernice. They're coming in. The Bible says they come in with a lot of pomp and circumstance. He's a king. She's a queen. So they come in into this courtroom, and no doubt there's this big court area where the king would sit and Festus would sit, and no doubt there's many noblemen, many people that are listening, and they're just, no doubt this room is full of people that are here just to be able to hear King Agrippa and to hear Festus and what they're going to be talking about and all that's transpiring. So put yourself in this place. There's this large room where all of these noble people and wealthy people are here. And King Agrippa and Festus are talking, and Festus says, you know, there's this guy that's been troubling people about this new way, and I don't really understand it, but King Agrippa, you know a little bit more about it than I do. And King Agrippa says, well, I'd like to hear what this man has to say, and I'd like to hear what this, you know, I've been hearing about this new way that people are talking about, and this man says he's a teacher of it. So Agrippa says, I'd like to hear what this man has to say. And so Agrippa or Paul comes in, and so you have this giant room that has all of these noblemen, all of these very auspicious people, and King Agrippa and Bernice are there, and Festus is there, and then they bring in Paul, who's a prisoner. So look at the contrast here. You've got all these wealthy people. You've got this king and Bernice, his wife, and all these other people here, and then here comes this man by the name of Paul in chains. Here's this prisoner they bring in. They bring him and they stand him before Agrippa and Festus, and Agrippa says, hey, Paul, I want to hear what you have to say. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening here. You're permitted to speak. And so Paul begins to speak. Paul begins to talk about why he has been imprisoned. And that's what we just read there in verse number 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And so Paul is getting ready to, as he's standing before King Agrippa, he's kind of explaining why he has been captured, why he's been arrested, why the Jews wanted to kill him. But there's something that he says here in verse number 22 that I think is so important. Notice what he says, having therefore obtained help of God, what are the next two words? I continue. Now again, this is our theme this year, continue. And Paul says, there's something that I am continuing in. There's something that took place in my life many years ago that I learned that I should be doing, and I have done that. And I want you to know, Agrippa, I continue to do that. You understand? That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, there are certain things that you have learned from the Scriptures. There are certain things that you've been taught. You know they're from God. You know they're from the Word of God. And the purpose of learning these things is so not that you can just have a knowledge of them, but so that you can continue to do them. You've learned them. You know what's right. You know what you're supposed to do. Now, I want you to continue to do these things. That's why Jesus said there in John, continue ye in my love. Jesus said, you know the love of the Father, you've experienced the love of the Father, and he says, now I want you to continue in my love. You continue showing the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. And so Paul says, there's something that I learned that I continue unto this day, he says. He says, I learned this years ago, and of course we know at this point we're probably getting closer to the end of Paul's ministry. You know, we know he's going to be taken to Rome, and then eventually in a few years he's going to be executed, he's going to be martyred, and so he's kind of coming to the end of his life and his ministry, and he says, there's something I learned many years ago that I know is from God, I know it's something that God wants for me to do, and he said, I want you to know, Agrippa, I continue unto this day to do this. I continue unto this day doing what I learned before. What is it that he says he learned? What is he continuing in? He says, I continue unto this day, and here's what he says, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul says, here's what I learned. I learned when I got saved that there was something that God wanted me to do. I learned that. He said, when I got saved, I learned that. And I learned when I got saved that I was to tell other people about how I got saved. That's what he says. To witness to both small and great. He says, when I got saved, I learned I was supposed to be a witness to other people and tell them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, I have done that in my life. And he said, let me explain to you, King Agrippa, the reason why I am here today is because I continue unto this day witnessing to people. The reason why I'm standing before you, King Agrippa, the reason why I'm in chains, the reason why the Jews want to kill me is because I tell people about Jesus. That's what he says. He says, when I got saved, Jesus made a difference in my life. He changed my life. And I understood when he changed my life that I should be telling others how their life can be changed. Can I tell you what I believe is one of the saddest things? Is a Christian who doesn't witness for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not the pastor. I didn't say that one of the saddest things is not being a pastor. So I'm not a missionary. I didn't say one of the saddest things is not being a missionary. I said one of the saddest things for a Christian is not being a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, we know, amen, we know what Jesus did in our life. We know what he did. We know how he changed our life, and then we refuse to tell somebody else how he can change their life? What have we basically said? It's good for me, but it sure isn't good for you. I'm glad it happened to me, but I don't really care if it happens to you. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, I learned this when I got saved, that it was so important that I tell other people about Jesus Christ. And he said, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great. He said, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's you, King Agrippa, and he goes through and gives the gospel here. We're going to see this in a moment. He said, it doesn't matter if it's to the king. It doesn't matter if it's to Festus. Or he said, it doesn't matter if it's to somebody small that may not be important. He said, every person deserves to hear the gospel message. Every person deserves to hear what Jesus Christ can do in their life. So here, I believe, is something else that we can continue in. Paul says, continue reaching the lost. Continue in reaching the lost. I want you to notice a couple things about this passage. First of all, notice our message is the same today as it was that Paul gave. The message we give today is the same. If you're a Christian, you have a tool that you can use in sharing Jesus with others. You have a specific tool. It's a powerful tool that is unique to you that you can use in sharing Jesus Christ with others. And again, I would so encourage you again. Please forgive me if I'm overstating this, but if you don't know how to share the gospel with somebody, please, please take that personal evangelism class. We'll teach you how to share the gospel. We'll teach you from the Word of God what you can do. But you have a tool that is unique to you. As Paul stands before King Agrippa and he explains why he's in jail, what does he do? Does he give some sob story and be like, oh, you know, these people, I was just trying to do something good and they just hate me and they just despise me and they don't care about me and they're just afraid that I'm taking people from their religion? Does he give some sob story about why he's there? No. He doesn't give some sob story. He doesn't give some poor me, feel sorry for me. No, here's what he does. He simply gives his testimony. That's what's amazing about this, right? Here he is standing before King Agrippa. King Agrippa says, hey, I want to hear what's going on, Paul. And Paul could have said anything. Paul could have said anything he wanted to at this point. But here's what the Spirit of God led Paul to say. The Spirit of God led Paul to simply share his testimony. You say, what's a testimony? A testimony is simply testifying or telling how you came to know Jesus as your Savior. How you got saved. Look what he does here, right? Look, he starts with his life before he met Christ in verse number 4, right? My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Here he's giving us, he says, let me tell you what my life was like before Agrippa. Agrippa, before I met Jesus, I was of the strictest religion. I was a Pharisee. I was religious. He says, you can ask the Jews. They know. They know what my life was like before. They know how I followed the Pharisees. They know how I followed the law. I mean, he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, I was up there. He says, I was one of the leaders. He said, that's where I was. But notice, can I tell you, friend, this morning? Religion does not save you. You can be very religious. You can go to church all your life and still die and go to hell. Paul says, I was a Pharisee. He says, not only was I a Pharisee, he said, I was even zealous for God. Now, he was doing the wrong thing, but he said, I thought I was doing what was right. I was zealous for God. He said, I was finding those that were serving this Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I was persecuting them. He said, when they were brought to court and they were getting ready to be executed, I was the one that raised my voice and gave consent and said, yes, they should die. He said, that's what I did. I was the one that helped put them to death. No doubt, Stephen probably was the first one that he gave his consent to when he was there holding the clothes saying, hey, I give my consent that you should stone this man to death. And he watched as Stephen died as they stoned him to death. He said, that was me. That was me. And he said, then not only did I do that, but he said, I had permission from the chief priest to go to every city and synagogue and find as many as I could, and I could try to entrap them, and I could try to get them to blaspheme against what our God, and I could try to imprison them. And he said, I hailed men and women and put them all in jail. He said, that was me. That was me. But something happened that changed my life. Look what he says in verse number 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he said, this is where I was. This was a life that I lived before. Man, everybody thought it was good. I had everything that the world could say you could have. I had power. I had prestige. I had position. I had fame. I had it all. But he said, there was one problem. I was going to hell. I was going to hell with all of those things. He said, but one day when I was on the road to Damascus to fulfill those commissions that I had been given to find more Christians and to persecute them, one day, Jesus came into my life. Jesus met me on the road to Damascus and he changed my life. He said, Saul, what are you doing? He said, do you understand that you're persecuting me? You think that you're serving God, but he says you're not actually serving God. You're actually serving the devil in what you're doing. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "Can I tell you, I met Jesus one day on the road to Damascus, and he changed my life. He changed my life. He took me from being a persecutor of those who believed in Jesus." He said, "Now, when I met Jesus, now," he said, "I want you to be a witness for me." He said, "I want you to tell others about me." That's what he says here. He says how he met Jesus, and he's sharing basically just all that transpired. By the way, you can go back to Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9. You can read this whole thing. That's where it happened. And what's he doing? He's simply sharing his testimony. You understand, friend? The message hasn't changed. Our message is the same. And then he talks about his life after Christ. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." He said, all I did was I was just obedient to God. Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to go and be a witness for me." And he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do that." And he said, "I've just been going around being a witness for Jesus. I've just been going around telling people about Jesus Christ. Telling them that Jesus died for their sins. He was buried and he rose again so that he could have eternal life." He said, that's all I've been doing. This is why I've been arrested. This is why the Jews hate me. Is because I've simply been sharing Jesus with others. You notice the message hasn't changed. The message that Paul gave, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, friend, do you understand? That's the message we're supposed to be giving today. The message hasn't changed. Our message is the same. It's been almost 2,000 years, and the message is still the same. We're to be sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Those two people that got saved out in that village, it wasn't because they joined a church. It's because we told them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ could save them from their sin. Not a religion, not a church, not a baptism, not good works. No, those things cannot save. It is only Jesus Christ who can save you from your sin. Our message is the same. We're to be telling others about Jesus Christ. You understand, our message is commissioned by the Lord. Not only is our message the same, but our message is commissioned by the Lord himself. Look what he said back in verse number 16. As the Lord is speaking to Paul, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." He said, I have a purpose for you. I want you to notice that. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. For this purpose. God says, Paul, I have a purpose for you. Your purpose is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's your purpose. You're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where you're at, whether small or great, you're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not sure what I would tell somebody. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know how you got saved? Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Do you remember what you had to understand before you could be saved? Why don't you share that with somebody? That's what Paul's doing. Paul is simply explaining what his life was before, when he met Christ, how he came to know Christ, what Jesus did in his life, and now what God is doing in his life. That's what he's saying. He's sharing his testimony about how he came to know Jesus Christ. You see, every one of us as Christians have a purpose. Every one of us. You say, well, I didn't have that experience that Paul did. Nope, neither did I. I wasn't on the road to Damascus. I didn't see a bright light. I didn't do that. Neither did you. That was Paul. That was only his. This is, you understand, what he's sharing here is his testimony. He's not sharing Peter's testimony. He's not sharing John's testimony. He's not sharing Barnabas' testimony. He's sharing his testimony. You understand, you don't have to share somebody else's testimony. Share yours. You don't have to share mine. Share yours. If you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, you have a testimony to share. You can tell others how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Share it. That's what he's saying. Our message is commissioned by the Lord. Every one of us as Christians have a purpose. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19? Go. What did he say in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? go. What does he say in Luke chapter 22? We are to go. What's he say in the book of John? We are to go. What does he say in Acts chapter 1? We are to go. You understand? We have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go, to share our testimony. Look, it may not be in Africa. That's fine. I'm not saying God's calling you to Africa. It may not be in Russia. It may not be in another country. But I can tell you this. He is commissioned you to go wherever you are. Wherever you are to be going and sharing your faith. You're to be telling others about Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know if they're going to like that. Do you think they would like what Paul said? Why is he in jail? Why is he standing here before King Agrippa? Because they didn't like it. They wanted to kill him. They wanted him dead. They wanted to shut him up. He said, I continue unto this very day, witnessing both the small and great. Friend, you understand, not only is the message the same, but we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know what's so sad? Is there are many Christians, if some man or some woman, if they opened up their mail and they found a letter from somebody they thought was really important, and that person wrote them a letter and said, hey, I want to commission you. I want you to come and work for me, and I want you to do this for me. We wouldn't let anything stop us. We wouldn't let anything stop us. We do whatever we can because, man, that person, they've asked us to come. They've asked us to be a part of their team. They've asked us to come and work with them. But when Jesus says, I want you to go, for some reason we get this idea that it's not important. For some reason, we get this idea when Jesus says to go, it's kind of like a choice I get to make. I can choose not to, or I can choose to go. No, he didn't give us a choice. He said, go. He didn't say, if you feel like it or if you want to. He said, go. That's what I've commanded you to do. The commission is to go. Are we continuing in what we know is true? Look, for many of us, today, can I say this message that I'm preaching this morning is not new. It's not new. We've known it. We know it comes from the Word of God. We know what Mark 16:15 says. We know Matthew 28:19-20. We know Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. We know John 20:21. We know all these verses. We know it's there. But are we going to continue in it? Are we going to do it? See, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. The things that thou hast been assured of, the things that you know are in Scripture, you know the things that God has said. Timothy, you continue doing those things. Paul said, I continue to this very day, witnessing both the small and great. You see, we have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing we must understand is that our message is to be given out. Our message is to be given out. Think about what he says in verse number 19 and 20. He says in verse number 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not, and notice that next word. What's that next word say? What is it?
Disobedient.
One more time.
Disobedient.
Disobedient. He said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He said, I was not disobedient. Friend, let me ask you a question then. If Paul said, I have continued witnessing unto this day, and I was not disobedient, if we are not continuing to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, then what are we being? We are being disobedient. The message hasn't changed. The commission has been given by the Lord himself. We are to go. And that commission is to every Christian. It's not just the pastor, it's not just the missionary, it's to every single Christian. Are we being obedient? Or are we being disobedient? You see, we can come week after week after week after week after week, month after month, year after year, and we know what God says. We are assured of what God says in His Word. We don't do anything about it. We don't continue in what we are sure that God has said. We have, if I was to ask anybody, how many of you do not believe that we should tell others about Jesus Christ? I don't think anybody in here would raise their hand and say, I believe we should not tell others about Jesus Christ. I don't think a single hand would be raised in here. Then why aren't we doing it? Why are we just picking and choosing who should and who shouldn't? Why are we saying, well, that's the pastor's job, that's the missionary's job, that's the Sunday school teacher's job? Wait a minute. Are you a Christian? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then guess what? It is your job. It's your job. We have been commissioned to do this. And this message is to be given out. Notice what he says. He said, I was not disobedient unto this. He said, I obeyed. In fact, he says, unto this day I've been witnessing. But watch. He says, first unto them at Damascus. Why does he say first at Damascus? That's where he got saved. Remember he said, I was on the road to Damascus? I was on the road to Damascus, and that's when the Lord appeared to me. That's when I got saved. So you know what he did right after he got saved? In Damascus. Told people about Jesus. That's where he was at. He said, hey, I just got saved. You know what? I bet there's some other people here in Damascus that need to know how to be saved. And then when God began to move him, he said, not at first in Damascus, because that's where he was at. And then he says, I went to Jerusalem, and I started sharing the gospel there with people in Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. You understand what Paul is saying? He says, no matter where I'm at, whether I was at Damascus or whether I went to Jerusalem or whether I went to Judea, whether I went to the Gentiles, he said, wherever I was at, I knew what my purpose was. My purpose is to share Jesus Christ. That's what our job is. That's what our purpose is as Christians. We are to continue to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Look, can I tell you, there are just as many people lost here in Preble County as there is in Uganda. There are people lost everywhere. You cannot go anywhere where there aren't people that are not lost. We have this idea that, well, preaching the gospel, that's for foreign countries because everybody here in America is a Christian. No, everybody here in America is not a Christian. Look around, people. You say, well, I just can't find anybody that's not saved. Open your eyes. You can't find anybody that's not saved? You don't have any neighbors? You don't have any coworkers? You're going to tell me that every single person that is in your neighborhood is saved? Every single person that you work with at your job is saved? Every one of your family members is saved? Every person that you go grocery shopping with, when you go to Walmart, you're going to tell me everybody in that store is saved? I don't think so. You see, they're there. We just don't want to look. We just don't want to look because we don't want to continue in what we know God has said to do. Paul said, I continue unto this day. I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great. Our message is to be given out. What does he say in Matthew 28:19? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what that means? It's got to be given out. If we're going to teach all nations, somebody's got to give it out. What did he say in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? Preach the gospel to every creature. And the word creature there is referring to mankind. We're supposed to preach it to all mankind. Again, that's why Paul says small and great. He said it doesn't matter who you are. Look, a doctor and a lawyer need to be saved just like somebody that may be in a homeless shelter or any place like that. He said everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to know Jesus. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're educated or uneducated. Doesn't matter if they live in a nice home or they don't have a nice home. Doesn't matter if they drive a nice car or they ride a bicycle. He said, doesn't matter who they are, they need to be saved. They need to know about Jesus Christ. Every creature, he says. Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He said, you've been sent. You've been commissioned. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Look what I just did. I went from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Five books, five times, five different places. Jesus said, go, 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 go. And we sit. And we don't go. We don't continue. And we wonder why our churches are failing. We wonder why our country's in the shape that it's in. We wonder why homes are being destroyed. Because we're not continuing in what Jesus has said for us to do. Paul is in this large room with all these nobles and King Agrippa and Festus and Bernice, and they're sitting there in all their pomp and all their glory, and all these nobles are around, and Paul has an opportunity to speak. And Agrippa says, what's going on, Paul? Paul says, let me tell you about the greatest thing that could happen in my life. The day I met Jesus, and he changed my life. He says, King Agrippa, you know what the scriptures say. He knew that King Agrippa was familiar with the scriptures. And watch what he says. For the king knoweth of these things, in verse 26, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Agrippa, I know that you believe what the prophets say. You know these things. You know what the scriptures have said, what the Old Testament prophets have said. You know it. King Agrippa, are you willing to believe? Agrippa, are you willing to repent of your sin? Agrippa, are you willing to turn from your ways and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one that can save you from your sin? And here's what he says. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Here's what's really interesting about this whole story. Here's a man that was a king, sitting, no doubt, probably in fine royal apparel. Looking down at a man who is in chains, probably in rugged prison garments. But the one that was standing before him in chains, in these prison garments, was freer than the one who was sitting on the throne in royal apparel. He was freer. Oh, Paul had physical chains, but Agrippa had spiritual chains. Friend, you might be sitting here today thinking, hey, I don't have any physical chains. Oh, you may not have physical chains. But if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, friend, you need to understand you are chained spiritually. You are chained, you are in bondage spiritually. Because it's not your goodness, it's not a church, it's not a baptism, it's not the Ten Commandments, it's not being a good person that can remove those chains. There's only one person who can remove those chains, and his name is Jesus Christ. Agrippa said, Paul, almost, but I just can't give it up. I can't give it all up, Paul. My power, my authority, all these different things. I can't give it up. Friend, do you understand that if Agrippa did not put his faith in Jesus Christ, that Agrippa today is burning in hell? Now, what good did his power and authority and the clothes that he was wearing, what good are those things doing him now? You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. The truth is there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And you will spend eternity in one of those places, friend. I cannot save you. This church cannot save you. Those baptism waters cannot save you. You cannot save you. There's only one person who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's my purpose, is just to tell people about Jesus. You see, is everybody going to believe? Did Agrippa? No. Agrippa didn't believe. But there were many that did. Hey, when we were out there in that village, there was a lot more than two that were there. There was probably about 40 or 50 that were there under that mango tree. Did all of them believe? No. But two did. Two did. Is everybody that you're going to try to witness to, is everybody going to get saved? Is everybody that you share your testimony with, everybody that you share the gospel with, are they all going to get saved? Probably not. You say, then why should I do it? Because there's one that could. Aren't you glad somebody told you how you could be saved? Will we continue in the things that thou hast known and been assured of? Hey, friend, Jesus says, continue in my love. What kind of love could we say that we have of Jesus Christ if we have the truth and we're not willing to share it with somebody else? Could we really say that we're showing the love of Christ if we're not willing to share it with others? You say, my friends might laugh at me. They might. You say, I might lose some friends if I tried to tell them about Jesus. You might. But what's more important? Them knowing for sure how they can be in heaven? Or them burning in hell one day saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? If you knew the truth, why didn't you tell me? Paul says, there's a purpose that I have. That purpose is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Friend, you have a purpose. The message is the same. We've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the message must be given out. If we don't give out the message, what good is it? It does no good. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Friend, I don't know where you're at spiritually. I understand physically we are not in chains. But friend, maybe you're here today and you say, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I really don't know. Oh, I hope I would go to heaven. But I'm going to be honest, and I'm not sure. But I would sure like to know how I could be sure. I'd sure like to know how I could know that my sins are forgiven. I'd sure like to know how I could know that heaven is my home. I'd sure like to know how I can have peace with God and to know that when I die, that I'll be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. I'd like to know that. If there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know that, but I'd sure like to know that. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray for you this morning. If that's you and you say, Pastor, that's me, I'd sure like to know that. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking around. Yes, God bless you. You can put it down. Somebody else. Pastor, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. Just slip it up, put it right back down. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. My prayer can't save you. Don't get me wrong. If I pray for you, my prayer cannot save you. Friend, that's a decision you have to make with God. We can show you from the Word of God how you can make that decision today. Christian, can I ask you a question? You say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. And praise God for that. But can I ask you, are you continuing in reaching the lost for Jesus Christ? We have the greatest message that has ever been given. But are we giving it out? The message hasn't changed. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The commission hasn't changed. Jesus commissioned us to do it. The question is, are we doing it? Are we continuing? We know it's from the Word of God. We know it's the Bible. We know it's His Word. But are we continuing in it? To share with others how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we're not, friend, can I challenge you this morning? Maybe this morning you need to come and pray and say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been continuing in this. Lord, I haven't been sharing the gospel like I should. Lord, would you help me today? Lord, would you help me to do better at sharing the gospel with people? Because there are souls that will spend eternity in hell if we don't share the gospel with them. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in the invitation now. Lord, that you'd continue speaking to our hearts, we'd be obedient to what you'd have for us. Lord, how important it is for us to share Christ with others so that they might know you. Lord, they might reject. That's true. But Lord, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting you. But our job is simply to share with them how they can know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, help us with this. We need to do better at sharing Jesus with others. May we continue in this. Father, help us. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, we're going to stand to our feet quietly this morning. The piano's just going to begin to play. Friend, maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning. You say, God spoke to my heart. I haven't been witnessing the way I should. I haven't been telling others about Jesus the way I should. Maybe you need to come this morning. You need to pray. Or right there in your seat, just say, God, would you forgive me? Forgive me, Lord. I haven't been sharing Jesus with others the way I should. Friend, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you'd like to know how to be saved, we'd love to take the Word of God, show you how you can be saved. Know for sure that heaven is your home.